Now in a bustling storehouse filled with Christmas decorations, titles appear. Joe Mantegna as Griffin. Jean Smart as Ellen. A Very Married Christmas. Carrie Matchett. And Charles Durning. A person runs around in the top half of a reindeer costume. Titles continue. Music by Mader, edited by Charles Bornstein, ACE, production designer Tavo Sordor. A man pops up from a swan float, and a little person hands him a wrench. More titles. Director of Photography, Rodney Charters, ASC, CSC. Co-executive producer, Peter Tortorici. Producer, Sherry Saito. A dwarf carpenter pokes up from the roof of a fake house. A worker climbs a ladder and hands a woman a wrapped gift. A woman in a slinky reindeer costume uses a cell phone. More titles. Executive producer, Larry Sinitsky. Based upon the book, Say When, by Elizabeth Berg. The woman in the slinky reindeer costume climbs a movable staircase to a worker. Teleplay by Joyce Eliason, directed by Tom McLaughlin. A portly, white-bearded man walks up wearing black boots and a red suit trimmed with white fur.
Ho, ho, ho!
He faces a group of Santas.
Oh, no, no, no. Now, let me explain.
He puts on a headset mic.
You gotta feel it from the gut. You feel me? Check out my man, Eli.
Ho, ho, ho!
That's it. I want to hear it from the heart. I want to hear it from the soul!
Ho, ho, ho!
Oh, thank you! Thank you! We're gonna make a child happy! We're gonna make a child believe! We're gonna give a child faith! Am I right?
Yeah!
We're gonna jingle them bells! Let me hear it! Oh, did you hear that? An angel just got his wings! All right, now I want each and every one of you to come up here. I want to see you walk. I want to see your belly shake like jelly. And we're going to start off with you, Luigi. Up, out, down.
Luigi gets up.
Right there. Shoulders back, like a shoulder, that's it. All right. Walk. Strong steps, but slow. Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho.
I'll tell you when. Okay. Now you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk. Now.
Ho, 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 ho.
Sit down.
Ho, ho.
Sit down.
Oh. Luigi returns to his seat.
Now I think what we have to do is go over Santa's do's and don'ts.
One trainee leans into another.
This your first time?
Yeah.
Me too. I guess I thought this would cheer me up.
Me too.
My wife left me.
Mine too.
No warning. Just one morning, she was gone.
Same as me. She woke up and told me she didn't love me anymore.
And then she died.
The younger trainee furrows his brow.
Oh, no, 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 she didn't die. She just fell in love with someone else.
Oh, that's terrible. Mine was easier. She just croaked.
As the younger trainee's mouth moves wordlessly, the older man sits back. The younger stares off pensively.
What if Ellen had died? Would that make it any easier?
Now our view spies on a bathroom.
Would that be less painful?
A blonde woman lets down her hair.
I knew she was seeing someone. I knew who it was, too. 6 months ago, she said she needed a direction in life, that she was tired of feeling helpless around anything mechanical. She said she didn't even know how to change a tire. She was impressed with the teacher, a mechanic named Peter. He came in the first night with a stack of books, one of them by Balzac. She was impressed. It was a hardback.
In a fantasy, she enters a garage.
I was wondering, how do I check my oil?
Biting a pencil, she struts in knee-high stockings, a short skirt, and a tight sweater to a mechanic working on an engine.
La première chose à faire.
Subtitles appear. The first thing that you do is lift the hood and look at the little...
Le petit moteur.
Hot engine. As Peter and Ellen kiss passionately, a curtain comes down in front of them. Back in the bathroom, her husband spies from around the corner. Ellen takes out her wedding ring from the pocket of her robe and slips it on her finger. Her husband frowns. Looking off distractedly, Ellen dabs her mouth with a tissue, then steps out of view. As the light goes off, her husband hurries into bed. He quickly climbs under the covers, then rolls onto his side and pretends to be asleep. Ellen enters in her pajamas and gingerly crawls in beside him. She stares up at the ceiling, then closes her eyes.
Kinda late.
Yeah. Peter, the teacher and I got into a discussion.
About Balzac?
Ellen turns away from him.
I guess I feel left out. I trust you. I do. Is that a new perfume?
No.
He sniffs her hair, then winces.
It smells like cologne.
Griffin, I'm tired.
He blinks uneasily as she stares off. Griffin rolls onto his back. A montage shows him lying awake, shifting restlessly, holding his pillow down over his head, reading a book, sitting on the edge of the bed and reclining with his feet near his wife's head. Now, daylight spills into the room. Griffin sits up, then faces his sleeping wife. He massages her shoulder, gives her a kiss on the cheek, and climbs out of bed. As he puts on a robe, she rolls over and faces him.
Where are you going?
Gonna make breakfast.
Stay here, okay?
Griffin quickly unties his robe, flings it aside, and climbs back into bed. As Ellen rests her head on his chest, he massages her arm.
You have a right to be feeling weird. You know what's going on.
Griffin pauses for a moment.
There's no point in us pretending.
As he swallows, his fingers slide toward her elbow.
Griffin. I know that you know.
Know what?
Blinking back tears, Ellen sits up and turns away from him.
You're right. All your suspicions. I'm in love with someone else.
I guess Zoe wants pancakes.
It wasn't stupid what you were feeling. Peter.
She holds her fingers over her nose as tears well up in her eyes.
I'm sorry. You know I haven't been happy for a really long time.
Griffin's jaw twitches.
No, I didn't know that.
He gets up. Later in the kitchen, Griffin whisks pancake batter in a glass bowl. Ellen enters wearing her open bathrobe over her pajamas.
Griffin, we need to talk. I want to explain.
He pours the batter into a metal dispenser.
I've just been feeling restless, like I was going crazy. And I thought that if I did that, if I had an affair, that I would feel better.
He squeezes batter onto a griddle.
I want you to know that I was really careful, okay? I mean, you know, we always use
Mickey Mouse pancakes, okay? Peach compote or syrup?
I don't want pancakes. I want a divorce. It's been so bad between us for so long.
She wipes her nose with her thumb.
Griffin, look at me.
As he turns away, she dries her eyes with a napkin.
You know, we need to make sure that Zoe's schedule, her routine, is as stable as possible. You know, school and...
I'm not going anywhere.
He grabs two coffee mugs.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving.
He sets one of the mugs in front of her.
Griffin, one of us has to.
No, Anne, I want you to call me Frank. I don't want you to call me Griffin anymore. That's what my friends call me.
A tomboyish girl runs in.
Can I go shoot some hoops with John Carlos?
No.
The parents trade glances.
Boy, oh boy, can't you two agree on anything?
As she exits, Griffin flips the pancakes. Outside, the sun sets rapidly and a lamp turns on near the front door. In the living room, Ellen fits a bedsheet over a couch.
We have a job to do together, and that is our kid. I'm her father, and I won't be relegated to seeing her on weekends. I'll get a housekeeper.
No. I'm not leaving her with a stranger.
You should have thought of that.
I can't leave her.
Neither can I.
We can't both live here.
Why not? We'll alternate nights with Zoe.
What? We'll live here like roommates? It's not gonna work.
I can make it work.
Later. Griffin lies awake in bed next to an empty pillow. He imagines Ellen riding beside Peter in a convertible.
Faster, Peter! Faster!
Back in the bedroom, Griffin opens his eyes, then sits up groggily. Now he opens his window curtains and looks out on a gloomy rainstorm. Later, he brushes his teeth. Staring at his somber reflection in a mirror, he lowers the toothbrush from his mouth.
What am I worried about? I am prime quality, top choice. A pretty damn good-looking man who is kind, holds down a good job, has a great kid, and a wife stupid enough to leave me.
Later, he puts on cologne.
The first time I wore this, Ellen didn't like the smell, but she said I could wear it if I wanted to.
He glances back at the bed.
Well, I want to. This is my bed now.
He gleefully sprays it with cologne.
What the hell? Maybe this is better for everyone. A million women will go for me. A million and one.
Wearing a backpack, Zoe walks past the open doorway, then returns and peeks inside. Griffin spritzes cologne underneath the comforter. Zoe watches curiously, then walks off. Giving one last squirt, Griffin nods. Later, rain drizzles outside a window as the family eats breakfast.
Well, Daddy and I are going to be spending a lot of time apart. We're trying something new so that we can grow.
You're grown already.
That's right, sweetie.
He glares at his wife.
Oh, this is different. It's growing on the inside. So we think that maybe people shouldn't spend so much time together, even if they're married. Remember last summer, you and Jack Franklin, you played together almost every single day? Remember, you kind of got tired of each other?
You and Dad are tired of each other?
She looks to her father.
Talk to your mother.
In this way, we'll have time for other things, like hobbies.
What kind of hobbies?
Griffin mashes his cereal.
Gardening and reading, stuff like that.
He lets go of his spoon and rubs his mouth.
What's your hobby, Dad?
He wipes his hands on his napkin.
Don't know yet.
He throws it down on the table, gets up, and kisses Zoe's forehead.
I'm working on it.
Holding a finger under her nose, Ellen watches him put on a pinstripe jacket. Later, his dark overcoat pulls away from our view as he walks past cubicles in an office suite.
Carl, how was your game?
We lost. But it was Perry's fault. 5 shank shots, not to mention the sand traps.
Damn. You know something? I've been thinking of getting back into golf myself. Enjoying life a little more.
As Griffin walks off, Carl leans over to Perry.
That'll be the day.
Griffin approaches a woman.
Now, would you sue me for sexual harassment if I told you you look hot today?
Griffin, that's not like you.
Well, maybe I've changed.
He strolls off. As the curly-haired woman watches him go, a co-worker runs into her.
I'm sorry.
She trips over her fallen co-worker.
I'm sorry.
Griffin heads into an office. Now he wears a phone headset.
No, it's simple, really simple. We migrate your supply chain into the RGPM platform and customize 2 objects max. Supplier product retrieve and depot order print. A week of coding tops, plus...
He spots a picture of Ellen.
Testing.
Yeah, but the interface has 20 components that use those objects.
He slides the photo out of its frame.
Griffin, are you there?
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Tops.
Griffin, you gotta get us up and running.
He tears it up.
Griffin, it's your wife.
What?
Your wife, she's on the phone.
Oh.
He touches his headset.
Can I put you on hold a minute?
She says it's important.
Tell her I'm out.
I already told her that you were in.
Well, now I'm out. It's a very important lunch.
Griffin, you left that guy on hold.
He'll get over it.
Grabbing his overcoat, he marches down the hall. His curly-haired assistant flounders uncertainly near the door to his office. Now, in a vacant section of a parking lot, a dark sedan pulls up between 2 spaces. Sitting behind the wheel, Griffin slides his gold wedding ring off his finger and stares at it. it in his palm, climbs out, and strides across the wet pavement. Puffy clouds dot the blue sky. Griffin chucks his ring into a patch of trees and shrubs, then heads back to his car, shoulders slumped. Later, in a mall, he slouches on a bench. With his back to a spinning carousel, he grips a hot dog and a drink. As he blinks pensively, a mime approaches. The white-faced performer points to Griffin's drink and feigns gulping down a beverage. The dejected man frowns joylessly as the mime sits down beside him. Eyeing Griffin's hot dog, he rubs his own tummy. Later, the mime pretends to give him a haircut. As the mime holds out his hand, palm up, Griffin grumpily turns his head away. The performer sulks off. As Griffin faces forward again, he sees two twin girls staring at him. Farther ahead, a man with thinning gray hair faces him from another bench. Both men frown as they hold a paper-wrapped food item in one hand and a drink in the other. Griffin takes a breath, then looks to the side. Near a balcony railing, a sign reads, "Help Santa." A blonde woman in a thin V-neck sweater sits at a sign-up table. She straightens and flashes a dimpled smile. As our view zooms in on Griffin, the carousel appears to recede behind him. The portly, white-bearded Santa instructor stands over him.
You gonna sign up?
Griffin shifts his attention away from the blonde.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, we need Santa, and I see you looking at the sign.
Sign?
He notices the Help Santa sign.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Oh, you're looking at Donna. I don't blame you. Come on, I'll introduce you.
No, I'm not interested. I'm married. Happily married, very happy.
All we're looking for is a little help for Christmas.
No, you see, I'm very busy right now. I'm developing a database for a very large corporation. And I have responsibilities. I have a wife and a daughter. And I left this guy on hold.
The white-bearded man brings him over to the sign-up table.
I thought you looked interested.
You did?
Just fill out the forms. We ask for a minimum of 4 hours a week, but most people work a little more than that as it gets close to Christmas.
What kind of Santa is this? Is this the one on the 8-foot chair who gives out candy canes and has some dorky elf take his picture every 20 seconds?
Well, actually, we're handing out reindeer antlers this year.
What we do is give out hope.
You'd be surprised you put on the padding and the beard. You know, this can be a life-affirming experience when you see these little children.
All your troubles seem to melt away. You see the bigger picture.
Just fill out the application. No obligation. We do a background check. And of course, there's Santa class. That's Friday evening.
Come on, dog. Change your life.
Griffin smiles, then looks into Donna's greenish-blue eyes. He imagines himself wearing a Santa suit as he carries her past a threshold. Wearing a Chinese silk gown, she beams joyfully. Back in reality.
Well, I what the hell, give me something to do on my night off.
I'll see you later, pal, thanks a lot. I gotta go find a few more for the South End Mall.
Okay.
Griffin fills out an application.
I'm Donna.
They shake hands.
One of the dorky elves who takes your picture every 20 seconds. By the way, I work the same hours you requested.
Oh, good. That's great, because I'm gonna need some help and maybe we can get a coffee or something after Santa class on Friday, and you can give me some pointers.
Donna's smile fades.
I mean, after I pass the background check.
Her shoulders straighten, and her mouth hangs slightly agape.
Well, damn it, why not? Okay, sure. A coffee or something after Santa class, if you pass.
Great.
Okay.
Grinning, he stands and shifts on his feet. Donna smiles.
Did you want your,
He picks up his hot dog and drink. Still wearing a boyish grin, he winks. As he walks off, Donna nods pleasantly, then looks over his application. Griffin moves in slow motion.
I thought I could always quit if I didn't like it. And besides, I like the looks of this woman. It might encourage me to start dating. Easygoing, lighthearted women. Low maintenance, not like Ellen.
In a fantasy, Donna offers a Mickey Mouse pancake. Now at the Santa training session, Griffin holds his eyes closed. The instructor leans down to him.
Still with us, pal?
Yeah, I just...
Hey, stand up. I want to see the whole picture. Well, you need a little more padding. Relax. You let your inner Santa come out.
You know, I think I made a mistake here. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have signed up. I just don't think there is one. I mean an inner Santa. I mean in me.
Well, you like kids, don't you?
Sure, I love kids. I have a kid.
Well, what's your problem, Doug? You're the man. You made the cut.
All right, before we change into our...
Griffin lets out a breath. Later, in storage aisles, gaudy costumes hang on racks. As Griffin returns his Santa suit, he sees a woman remove her white beard.
What are you staring at?
Oh, gee, I didn't realize you were wrong.
You don't think Santa could be a woman?
I know there's a Mrs. Claus.
So you don't think I have a Mrs. Claus?
No, I just assumed.
Sexist pig. You're pathetic.
As she strides off, Donna approaches.
Hey. Aren't you glad you signed up?
Yeah, I guess.
How about Monday and Friday nights?
Griffin gives her a distant stare.
Frank?
In a fantasy, they kiss passionately in bed. Back in reality, Griffin blinks and licks his lips.
Frank?
Oh, call me Griffin.
Okay.
Monday and Friday nights.
Great.
As she turns away, a wind billows her hair. Griffin shifts his jaw as he watches her walk off. Her tight jeans hug the contours of her behind.
I'm a married man. I'm still in love with my wife. I'm the father of a daughter who would be horrified to know what I've been thinking about doing with this woman. I don't want to go for coffee. I hate dating. I want to go home.
Donna returns with her purse and coat.
Ready?
Absolutely.
He accompanies her across the storehouse.
So, thoughts on where you'd like to go?
There's this great little coffee house down the street from where I
live. He moves her out of the way of a nutcracker float. In front of them, a man pulls a scenery cart labeled Goosey Goosey Gander. It shows a long-necked bird. As gelled lights change colors, glitter rains from the ceiling. Donna moves Griffin out of the way as a little person drives past in a miniature car. Fake snow shoots out of a prop, startling them. As they grab onto each other, blackness closes in around them. Now, in a cozy restaurant on a snowy street.
It gets better.
Griffin looks up into Donna's eyes.
What?
You're newly divorced or getting a divorce, right?
No, actually.
As Griffin shrugs, Donna watches him steadily.
What are you, psychic?
Intuitive. I took one look at you and I knew you were hurting. I also noticed a little strip on your finger where it looks like a wedding ring was recently.
He eyes his empty ring finger.
Oh. Yeah, I jumped the gun on that one. I threw it away. I mean, I guess I had to do something, right?
I've been through it.
Divorce?
Something like that. But when JJ left, I felt like the world had ended.
Same with me. Our life was so comfortable, reliable.
My son is very young and very tender, and I just had to get it together, you know? And I had to scramble. I didn't know what I was going to do. But now, I rep a cosmetic line, Manhunter. And I do the Santa Claus thing at Christmas for extra money.
Donna shrugs slightly.
You just have to learn to deal.
She meets Griffin's gaze.
Right.
He nods.
Learn to deal.
Later, they walk up a dimly lit sidewalk. Fluffy snow flurries swirl gently around them.
You know, you're right what you said about your son. I've got a daughter. I've got to get myself together. Figure out what I'm going to do.
They stop and face each other. Donna waves toward the curb.
Well, here's my car.
Oh.
So I guess it's good night.
Yeah, well...
I had a nice time.
I did too, thanks.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. Bye.
Donna heads off, and Griffin walks on with a thoughtful gaze.
Griffin,
Donna hurries back, slows her pace, and extends a friendly smile.
I really don't like dating. My son's
very impressionable. But, he stays with his grandma on Thursday nights, so why don't you come over for dinner?
Griffin gazes blankly.
Look, I don't have any illusions about your availability or mine. I just like you, so...
Donna smooths the hair above Griffin's ear.
Call me, okay?
She nods and walks off.
I will.
Donna stops and smiles at him.
Good night.
Good night.
As they head their separate ways, Griffin glances back with a smile. Getting into his car, Griffin beams in Donna's direction. Griffin buckles himself in and puts his key into the ignition. He tries again. Griffin cranks the ignition again, rocking in his seat. Staring straight ahead, he flicks his thumbs against the wheel. Peter's garage appears in a rose-tinted fantasy. Ellen climbs into the back seat of a classic convertible with sharp tail fins.
Peter, darling.
Peter gets in with her.
My idiot husband is having a little problem with his car.
Subtitles. Hey, no problem. I will fix for him. Give him a discount, too. You know something, Ellen? I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. Ellen reclines under Peter.
Me too.
As Ellen and Peter kiss, the car rises on a hydraulic lift towards a crystal chandelier. Griffin watches from below as they disappear from sight. Now, back in his own car, Griffin stares wide-eyed over the steering wheel. Griffin shakes his head and blinks.
Learn to deal, Griffin.
He nods resolutely.
Learn to deal.
He reaches for the ignition. Griffin heaves a sigh of relief. Now he enters his dimly lit house. He steps toward the living room. Bedded down on the couch, Ellen glances toward the door, then quickly lays her head back on the pillow and closes her eyes. Griffin walks in, glances at her, and turns back. As his shadow moves off her, Ellen sneaks a sidelong glance. Upstairs, Zoe darts down the hall. Griffin gazes upstairs toward Zoe's bedroom. Zoe faces a terrarium. She peers into the tank with a magnifying glass. Griffin steps into her room.
Hey, you're supposed to be asleep.
I was worried about my aunt.
He approaches the tank.
Your what?
My pet, the aunt.
Griffin peers into the tank.
Well, I see a grape and half a cookie.
His dinner.
Zoe hands her dad her magnifying glass.
But I don't see an ant. Oh! There he is.
He hands her back the glass.
He's shy with new people. I've been teaching him to sit, but he's not so good at it.
She gets in bed.
And what's his name?
Amos.
Amos Ant. Terrific name.
No, Amos Griffin. He's in our family.
Zoe grabs a doll and lies down. Griffin pulls the blanket up over her.
Good night, Soaps.
He kisses her forehead.
Why does Mom sleep on the couch?
She told you she needs a little space.
Dad, the couch isn't much space.
Griffin cocks his head.
You're gonna have to ask Mommy.
As Griffin turns slightly toward the door, Zoe eyes him steadily.
Daddy, we believe in God.
Griffin gives a thoughtful nod and sits on the side of the bed.
Yes. We believe there's something out there. Somewhere.
But we don't believe in Santa.
No. No Santa Claus. Just guys like me pretending.
I always liked the Tooth Fairy. Can we still believe in her?
Oh, yeah. We can still believe in the Tooth Fairy.
He touches Zoe's nose.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Dad.
Griffin stands and turns off the light. As he closes the door behind him, Zoe shuts her eyes. Griffin sadly walks downstairs. Now, in the mall, a line of kids face a platform decked out with Christmas trees, giant snowflakes, and toy soldiers. At a nearby counter, Donna wears an elf costume behind a camera on a tripod. On the platform, Griffin wears a Santa suit and sits in a sleigh with a child on his knee. Donna faces parents.
Yeah.
2 for 15 or 1 for 10. It's great for grandparents.
I want a blue Power Ranger and a red Power Ranger and a Ninja Turtle and a yellow car that I can drive and a red bike with training wheels and a hockey stick and a mask and Batman underwear.
No, Nevin, we don't want the sleigh to tip over.
But I need them.
Yeah, but Santa has to leave toys for all the other boys and girls all over the world.
You don't understand. I really, really, really need them. You're a stupid, stupid, stupid Santa, and I'm really, really mad at you.
As the boy walks away, Griffin waves to him.
Merry Christmas.
Later, with a curly-haired girl. The girl's mother smiles.
A nice man.
At the photo booth, Donna grins.
Santa!
The red-faced girl glares. Later, an African-American girl sits on Griffin's knee.
Santa, they fight all the time. And I'm with my mom one week, and my dad the next. And I'm always in the middle. It's like I don't even have a home. You can't help me, huh? You can't get my mom and dad back together again.
Griffin shakes his head.
No, I can't. But I do know that they both love you very much, and that they just want to share you.
Well, I'm not a toy.
Glancing up, Griffin spots Donna pointing her camera.
How about a picture? Would you like a picture?
The girl climbs down.
Forget about it.
She walks away with a downcast gaze. Donna furrows her brow and Griffin eyes her sadly. As she meets his gaze, Donna mouths, "You were fine." Griffin wearily gets out of Santa's sleigh and walks down the platform steps toward the waiting line. He swivels a "Please wait here" sign. The opposite side reads, "Gone to feed Santa's reindeer." Now, in a men's room, Griffin stands at a urinal. A boy with a mop of hair carries his skateboard out of a stall. Spotting Griffin, he stops.
Yo, Mr. Santa. You, packing in a present over there, Santa Claus?
What?
As Griffin faces him, the boy puts his skateboard on the sink and washes his hands. Glancing over his shoulder, the boy sees Griffin still watching him.
I know you're not Santa Claus, so go ahead and pee.
Oh, really? And how can you be so sure?
Well, your beard sucks, you have makeup on, and your padding is lumpy.
Griffin eyes the brat.
Anything else you want to say?
Grabbing his skateboard, the boy glances up at Griffin.
You look like an idiot.
As the boy walks out, Griffin stands motionless, then slowly lifts his gaze from the floor. Now, the boy leaves the rest area and heads toward a mall bench.
Gabe!
Donna runs up.
Gabe, I'm gonna get fired. You can't just run off on your grandma like that. She's been looking all over the mall for you.
Griffin approaches.
Griffin!
He points at Gabe.
This is yours?
Yeah.
Oh, right. You're a tender, sweet little boy.
I'm not sweet, I'm not little, and I'm not tender. This guy is a loser.
Gabe!
Gabe walks off.
It's okay, Donna. He's right.
I'm so sorry.
As Donna runs off after Gabe, Griffin spots a dark-haired man with a stubbly beard eyeing him.
What the hell are you looking at?
Nice, Santa.
Merry Christmas. Oh, ho!
As the matronly women pass, Griffin shakes his Santa belly toward the scruffy stranger who promptly strolls off. Griffin shrugs and moves on, adjusting his hat and wig. The scruffy man peers around a corner at the department store Santa. Now, Griffin arrives home with a jumbo bucket of chicken. Entering the kitchen, he slows his pace as he sees Ellen at the stove.
You made dinner? It's your night out. Smells like pot roast. Do I get any?
Of course.
Ellen puts on oven mitts.
If you're here and I make dinner, of course you can have some.
She opens the oven, then points to the chicken.
You'd rather have that.
Oh, no, I got that because it's my night, which is always alternating, right? I mean, sometimes there's dinner and sometimes there isn't. Never know what to expect around here.
As Ellen removes a juicy pot roast with russet potatoes piled in the sauce, Griffin leaves, taking the fried chicken with him. At the table, he pokes at a cold bun. Ellen and Zoe enter.
Wash your hands and don't let the food
get Hey, Zoe, look.
Your favorite. Here, you like the breast.
I'd rather have pot roast.
Okay, well, save that for
for your lunch.
He tosses the breast in the bucket.
So, Dad, you excited to see my teacher tonight?
Griffin squints toward Ellen.
What do you mean? Were we seeing her teacher tonight?
Oh, yeah, it's one of those parent-teacher conferences that just little 10-minute deals they do. I don't think we both have to go.
Oh, no, I'm going. We'll get what's-her-name next door to babysit.
I'm not a baby.
No, I know, honey. Hey, you want to do your old dad a favor? Would you give me another fork? These tines are bent. Mom must have caught it in the disposal.
Ellen stares. Griffin watches Zoe round the corner with the fork. The girl stops in the hallway.
Let's get something straight. Anything about Zoe is done together.
I forgot to tell you, that's all. I have a lot on my mind.
Well, Zoe comes before those things.
I know that.
What's wrong with you guys?
Nothing, honey.
Bad day at work.
Again?
Griffin faces Zoe's steady gaze.
Again?
Zoe rolls her eyes and heads toward the kitchen. Later, in a school corridor lined with lockers, our view moves toward an open classroom door. In one classroom, a slender-faced woman sits opposite the Griffins.
And Zoe's a wonderful girl. Quite the baseball fan. The class is reading the biography of Jackie Robinson. Zoe's idea.
That's my girl.
She's a bit of a tomboy, but she's also very sensitive, very much aware of others' feelings.
We should probably tell you there's some changes occurring in Zoe's life. We're getting a divorce.
We haven't decided anything about divorce yet. We're trying some things, and we don't need to discuss it here.
Ellen lowers her gaze.
These things can affect a child's performance in school, that you should know.
Yes, certainly.
Zoe seems to be handling things really, really well.
What are you talking about? Our little girl asked me if there is a God. Her whole world has crumbled.
Have you moved out, Mr. Griffin?
Not yet.
The teacher regards the couple.
Children are remarkably resilient, and divorce has become so common. I'm sure Zoe will weather the storm.
Do you think you could show a little disapproval? Everyone here is acting like it's a day at the beach. My little girl knows what's going on, and her heart is breaking.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Griffin, but my next parent is here. I really must...
My wife keeps giving me mixed signals. Why did she make me pot roast? She says she wants a divorce, and then she makes my favorite food, pot roast?
Zoe asked for pot roast. It had nothing to do with...
Griffin grabs his coat, glances to the teacher, and follows Ellen toward the door.
Mr. Griffin?
He stops and looks back.
You gotta learn to deal.
I know. You don't have to tell me.
Now, at Donna's, Griffin and Donna carry wine glasses from a dining room table to a sofa.
Hey, this was delicious. Thank you very much.
You know, it was really nice to be able to cook something for a change. Gabe only likes plain pasta with butter. No spices and nothing.
No, he's smart. He nailed me. I'm no Santa Claus.
What? Oh, no. Now, come on. You know that it takes practice.
I feel like such a failure.
Donna shifts her gaze thoughtfully.
Exactly what JJ used to say.
How can they just walk out on everybody?
Donna stares toward her wine.
JJ didn't walk. He was taken away in handcuffs.
Oh, God. He's...
He was in prison. But now he's at a halfway house. He embezzled some money in a firm where he worked. But he has a different job now. He's working construction.
Donna sets her wine aside.
And he won't see us, Gabe and me. He won't even take my phone calls. Sometimes I wonder how long I'm supposed to wait.
Donna gazes thoughtfully past her coffee table, then turns quickly to Griffin as he drinks his wine.
I think I should tickle your back.
Griffin eyes the woman quizzically.
Tickle my back?
Yeah.
Tickle my back?
Yeah. Yes. Turn around. It'll feel good.
Griffin shifts his back to her fingertips.
Relax into it, but...
Yeah, well, it certainly...
As Donna's fingers playfully massage on his back, Griffin waves his hands.
Faces chills.
As Griffin turns and faces his date, their expression sober. They lean toward each other and kiss. Donna cups Griffin's face and reclines back on the sofa. Their lips together, he rolls on top of her. As their passion mounts, Zoe appears, sitting cross-legged on the back of the sofa.
Dad!
Zoe shakes Griffin's shoulder.
Dad, shame on you! Stop it!
Griffin looks up.
I'm sorry.
Zoe disappears.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
No,
I think we just had a little too much wine.
No, it's been a long time since
Oh, God, me too. I mean, you're the first man I've been attracted to since my husband.
Me? No, I don't see myself as someone a woman like you would be attracted to.
They stand facing each other. Donna gapes.
You are so...
Shaking her head, Donna eyes him fondly.
You know, I think that you have been living too long with someone who doesn't have the slightest idea how wonderful you are.
No. It isn't all her fault.
Griffin paces away.
She's been devoted to Zoe and me, the family.
He sits on the couch.
Maybe she just lost herself in the process. Anyway, a fortune teller once told me I was no good with the ladies. She said I did everything wrong.
She joins him on the sofa.
This time you did everything right. That's why I got carried away.
Donna smiles at Griffin, who nervously wrings his hands and averts his gaze. He looks up quickly.
Do you think we should get out of here? Maybe go see a late movie or something?
Smiling, Griffin nods.
Sure.
Okay.
They head for the door. Now in the mall, they stand in line outside a movie theater.
You know, this probably isn't the best film for us to be seeing right now. It's supposed to be very sexy.
Griffin sips from a styrofoam coffee cup. Glancing past Donna, he freezes.
Wait a minute. Wait a damn minute.
He spots Ellen with a balding man.
That's Peter? That's the boyfriend? I don't believe it. She left me for the Pillsbury Doughboy.
On an escalator, Ellen plants little kisses on Peter's pasty face. As they pass the movie line, Griffin glares.
Where's Zoe?
Peter and Ellen turn.
Where's Zoe? It's your night with Zoe.
She wanted to go to a sleepover. Griffin, this is Peter.
I thought you said you always hated men without hair.
Peter Galloway, I'd like you to
meet... You expect me to shake his hands? Is that what you want me to do? Us to be friends? Well, forget about it. He's a homewrecker. A sleaze.
Griffin yanks the lid off his cup and slings the drink into Peter's face. He grabs Donna's cup and drenches the interloper again.
Griffin, you're acting like a two-year-old!
Griffin storms up the down escalator.
Excuse me.
Ellen gapes at her spattered date.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Donna offers a napkin.
Hi, I'm Donna.
Whipped cream sticks to Peter's head. Donna turns and hurries away. Ellen dabs the napkin at Peter's head, face, and clothes. Now, arriving home, Griffin closes the front door and hangs his scarf in the closet. He enters the living room. A white robe lies on a chair, dirty dishes remain on the coffee table, and Ellen's pillow and folded blankets are stacked on the end of the couch. Griffin eyes the room sadly, smiles wryly, and heads into the dark kitchen. He turns on the light. Ellen sits sipping wine.
What are you doing here?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
I live here.
So do I. Where have you been?
Driving around. Why are you sitting in the dark like a crazy person?
Just thinking.
He gets ice cream.
Oh, why aren't you spending a night with your boy toy? Or isn't he toilet trained yet?
Ellen grins.
It's very funny.
Come on, Ellen. You're old enough to be his mother. What is he, 21?
He's 31. What's wrong with that? Men go out with younger women all the time.
So why aren't you with him now?
Grabbing her wine, Ellen leaves the room.
It's not important.
She goes into the living room and sits with her arm resting on the bedding. Griffin follows, holding his spoon in one hand and the quart container in the other. He sits on the opposite end of the couch and eats ice cream.
It was bizarre. Seeing you there with that Donna.
They glance briefly at each other.
She's pretty.
Ellen eyes her husband, then sips her wine.
I'm sure she's very nice.
She wasn't a date. She's the photographer for the Santas.
He extends the ice cream carton.
You want some?
Ellen examines its contents.
Mm-hmm. No gain, no pain.
Ellen leans back, staring at the ceiling.
Can't believe that happened. What are the odds?
As Ellen finishes off her wine, Griffin sets the ice cream aside.
Hey, let's go out.
Ellen shifts her bleary gaze to Griffin.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You want to go to Halsted Street and listen to some blues?
Never been there.
So, it's always the first time. Yeah, let me put this in the dishwasher.
He takes Ellen's empty glass.
You always do that.
He returns from the kitchen.
What?
So neat and tidy.
Well, what should I do with dirty dishes? Decorate the house?
Yeah, why not? Loosen up.
Griffin puts the wine glass upside down atop a lampshade.
How's that?
It's good. Very good.
They grin at each other. Ellen's smile fades. She reaches for her purse. She answers her cell phone.
Hello?
Ellen turns away from her husband's gaze.
Yeah, I know.
Griffin slowly moves away as Ellen hustles to her feet.
I can't.
She walks toward the door and stops in the hallway.
It's very difficult.
Twisting her hair, Ellen glances at Griffin, who drops his gaze.
Okay.
Ellen ends the call, walks quickly back to the couch, and gets her purse.
I'm going out.
Shouldering her purse, Ellen heads for the door. Griffin slowly follows her into the hallway. As Ellen opens the closet, she looks back at her husband.
I'm sorry, Griffin.
She puts on her coat.
If I could change the way I feel, I would.
Griffin's lips tremble slightly.
Hold on, Ellen. I want to ask your opinion of something.
Ellen dons a scarf as Griffin goes to the living room and reaches toward the lampshade. She shuts the closet door. As he returns with the wine glass, Griffin soberly meets her gaze. He lifts the glass shoulder high, then slings it down.
How's that?
Ellen glares at the broken glass and darts out of the house.
By the way, you've got lipstick on your teeth!
Peering imploringly at the door, Griffin stands motionless. He drops his gaze to the floor, squats, and carefully picks up the glass, shard by shard. A circle of black closes in around him.
Ellen.
Now, in a forest filled with blue light, Griffin finds Ellen wearing a long wig.
Ellen?
She stands, staring off through the misty light. As Griffin reaches out, he spots his ringless hand and rubs the empty finger. He crouches and pulls a handful of torn paper from the fog-covered ground. It is the pieces of Ellen's photo. He flips through them, then lets the pieces fall. He picks up a plate with a Mickey Mouse pancake. Berries form its eyes, nose, and mouth. He looks around quizzically. Looking out a window, Zoe pitifully bangs on the glass, a shawl around her shoulders and her head wrapped in a scarf. Now Griffin wakes up in bed. A digital clock reads 1:33. He throws back the covers and heads downstairs. As he opens the door, Ellen brushes in past him, huddled in her coat.
I'm sorry. I forgot. I can't take this. This isn't going to work out.
You're right. This isn't going to work out. You think you are so superior. You're so self-satisfied.
Stop it! Stop telling me how I failed you. I'm tired of being a failure. I think you better move out.
Ellen meets her husband's glare, then runs upstairs. From the bottom of the staircase, Griffin stares up sadly. Morning. Griffin meticulously smooths wrinkles from a bedspread. Two pillows sit at the head of the bed's right side. One pillow sits on the left side. As he reaches for the second pillow, Ellen tosses two suitcases onto the bed, wrinkling it.
You might as well do it today. Zoe doesn't have any school tomorrow.
I thought you said you weren't moving in with him.
I'm not.
You found a place already?
Found a place a few weeks ago. I called yesterday and they said that it was still available.
And how much is this going to cost me?
It's not going to cost you anything. I'm going to get a job. Saved a little money.
Fine, great. It's wonderful.
She packs.
I'm not going to be able to take everything.
Oh, no. You take it all. I don't want any of your things in my dresser.
Please be reasonable. I can't take everything today. I will get it eventually.
Well, don't you need your pajamas, or are you sleeping in the nude now?
Zoe enters the house.
Mom!
Oh, God. We have to tell her. Just give me a second, okay?
Ellen hurries into the bathroom and shuts the door. Zoe comes upstairs.
Mom?
Hey, how was the sleepover?
Oh, horrible. Jessica called me Dumbo.
Dumbo?
Dad, my big ears.
You don't have big ears. You have lovely ears. Maybe they just need some earrings.
You said I can't get my ears pierced until I'm 100 years old.
Well, maybe I changed my mind. Here, put your stuff away, then we'll go have some lunch.
I'm not hungry. Anyway, Mom won't let me pierce my ears.
Well, don't be so sure. I think she might have changed their mind, too.
Zoe heads off with her bag. Later, in the kitchen, Ellen rolls out pizza dough.
And I'll be here every day after school, just like always. The only difference is that Daddy will be getting you ready for school every morning.
But you live in another place.
Yeah, for a while. You know, just so I can think about some things.
Did I do something?
No, Zoe, nothing.
Zoe looks her up and down.
You're getting a divorce?
Ellen and Griffin exchange a look.
Are you, Dad?
Come here.
No, just tell me.
Sweetie. No, see, Mama just needs to just be by herself for a while, you know? You kind of like when Daddy goes on a business trip.
Can I come?
Well, sure. You know, as soon as I get settled, you know, but you'll live here.
She'll come back.
As Ellen hesitates, Griffin glances her way.
I'll come back.
When?
Hugging her daughter, Ellen's eyes fill with tears as she rests her face on Zoe's back.
I don't know, sometime, maybe.
As Ellen buries her face in her daughter's hair, Zoe uses a cheese grater.
Maybe more cheese.
Good idea.
Griffin takes a sip from his mug.
Guess what, Mom?
What?
Dad said I can get my ears pierced.
Ellen raises her eyebrows and meets Griffin's gaze.
Oh, well, if that's what you really, really want, okay.
Can I get my tongue pierced too?
No!
Good. Finally agreeing on something.
As Zoe adds ingredients to her pizza, the parents stare at her. Griffin soberly sips from his mug, and Ellen returns to spreading pizza dough. Later, Griffin descends the stairs carrying Ellen's suitcases. Exiting the front door, Griffin steps down the front steps. He passes a row of bushes capped with snow. Now, he loads the suitcases into the back of a white minivan next to a box labeled Kitchen. Hugging her jacket tightly around her, Ellen waits idly by the van's driver's side door. Griffin approaches her.
I guess she's okay.
I guess.
I don't think I did a very good job of telling her.
There is no good way. Ellen, why don't you just go now? I don't think it helps for you to hang around any longer.
She gets in the van.
I wrote my address on the front of the phone book. And when I get my new number, which I think Monday, I'll call you and I got my cell.
Yeah, we'll be fine. You sure you got everything you need?
Ellen nods meekly, her eyes welling with tears. As she backs out of the driveway, Griffin watches her from the snow-blanketed lawn. His narrow gaze follows the departing car. Now, in a conference room, Griffin makes a presentation in front of a large chart.
So, how do we get the customer from where he is to where he wants to be? It involves more than one generation of a product. The customer wants to go to XYZ, let's say X. But your dev cycle doesn't provide for this feature.
Griffin, I think it's yours.
One moment, please.
He reaches into his briefcase. His phone's display reads, Donna.
I'm in a meeting. Can I call you back?
Yo, are you the Santa Claus dude?
Yeah.
What kind of meeting? You said you're in a meeting.
Well, look, I'm really busy right now.
Making toys with your elves?
You might say that. Who is this?
Gabe. I picked out some Nikes at the store. $89, and you have to pay.
Griffin's colleagues watch him hide behind a flowchart.
Gabe, I'm sorry, but Santa can't,
You're my mom's boyfriend, right?
No. just friends. We did nothing,
You slept with my mom!
I never slept with your mom!
Could I get anybody anything?
How about a good lawyer?
Donna sees Gabe on the phone.
She sleeps with all the Santas. Gabe!
He drops the phone and runs off. Donna raises it to her ear.
Who's this?
Me, Donna.
Oh, my God. I am so
sorry. Anyway, Griffin, what he said, it's
not true. I don't sleep with all the...
I really have to go now.
He folds his phone shut.
Griffin?
He steps out from behind the flowchart.
So, where were we?
How we get the customer from A to X.
Nodding, Griffin extends a pointer.
Right.
He directs their attention to the flowchart. Nighttime. A light display on a building's roof reads, Season's Greetings. In the mall, Griffin walks in his Santa suit.
Shoppers, this is Santa's World, and receive 10% off all your purchases today. Happy holidays!
A girl runs into his arms. More kids swarm around him. One holds out an autograph book. Later, Donna photographs him in his sleigh with a mother and three toddlers. The photographer's smile fades as she goes about her work. Griffin watches her through his lensless prop glasses. Later, he strolls through the vacant mall, still dressed in his Santa suit. Behind him, a sign on a Victorian house facade reads, Family Rest Area. Griffin spots the scruffy stranger through the immobile carousel. The two men stop and stare at each other.
Griffin!
The stranger moves off as Donna arrives, still wearing her elf costume.
Hey.
Griffin looks back through the carousel.
Went better tonight, right?
Not exactly. A kid bit me.
What? Oh, no! Which one?
Oh, he had red hair. That's all I could remember. Oh, and he wants me to get him on Star Search. listen, Donna. The kids. Yours, mine. I think it might be better if we don't progress.
He takes off his glasses, hat, wig, and beard and faces her.
Progress.
I mean, we're just friends, right?
You believed him? Me sleeping with all the Santas?
No, not that.
Listen, Griffin, Gabe is scared to death that I'm going to fall in love with someone other than his dad. He's determined to frighten away any and all prospects.
No, Donna, it's just that...
Anyway, don't worry about it. Of course, we're just friends.
She displays a fleeting smile, then walks off. Griffin watches her go, then lets his gaze shift. The scruffy stranger looks over his shoulder as he rides down an escalator. Griffin lumbers off, holding his costume accessories at his sides. Blackness closes in around his slumped shoulders. Zoe looks in her terrarium.
I think he's dead.
Well, maybe he escaped. How about this skirt?
I hate skirts.
Griffin packs a yellow duffel bag.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Dead. I fed him and he wouldn't eat.
You took very good care of him.
He was just a stupid aunt.
Come here, Zoe.
Wearing a wool cap and flannel shirt, she sits beside her father on the bed.
It's okay. Amos' aunt had a good life.
I miss Mommy.
No, I know you do, sweetheart. But today you're going to go stay with her until Sunday.
I just don't understand why she had to go.
Well, like she told you, she needed her own place for a while.
It's almost Christmas. Mom always decorated everything, and we don't even have a tree.
I know, baby, but I've been busy.
Yeah, busy being Santa Claus.
Well, you know what they say, shoemaker's kids go barefoot.
That is so not funny.
She reaches into the terrarium and plucks out her dead aunt.
Dad?
Yeah.
She puts it in a jewelry box.
Can we get a puppy?
Well, maybe sometime, but not right away.
You always say that.
Hey, we better get going. Drop you off at your mom's.
I gotta bury Amos.
I think the ground's too hard, Zoe.
I know. I'm going to flush him.
She heads down the hall.
Perry, let's see.
Now in a loft apartment, Ellen answers the door in a waitress's uniform.
Hey, perfect timing. I just got home.
Whoa, Mom, you look great. How many tips?
Oh, gosh. Tips? Oh, boy. Well, let's see. I've got 4, 5...
Mom, a Christmas tree. It's beautiful.
You can help me with the finishing touches. And don't forget, we're going to make cookies.
Next week is Christmas, and we don't have one Christmassy thing at home.
We're going to do it. I told you.
Right. Shoemaker's kids go barefoot. I love the tub. Can I have a bath in it?
Okay. You want bubbles? There's a little bathroom around the corner there. It's an orange bottle.
Zoe runs off. Griffin scratches the back of his neck.
Need some coffee?
No, thanks. I should get back to the office. I'm developing an upgrade path for one of my clients. A little behind. What furniture?
Thrift store, and Peter loaned me some things.
Ellen, half of everything we have belongs to you.
I know. I just want to do it by myself.
You think you can afford this?
I'll manage. And Zoe seems to like it. That's all that matters.
Hey, Dad, come here. Really hurt. Come.
He follows her to a freestanding bathtub in the living room.
Can you believe this bathtub? It's big enough for 2 people.
He winces as she climbs inside.
It's big enough to swim in.
Yeah, right.
He kisses her forehead.
I'll see you Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.
He heads for the door.
You have plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I do.
Bye.
Bye.
He exits. Later, his dark sedan parks outside a log cabin. Inside, the mall Santas and their families eat a turkey dinner.
Would I sew buttons on when I have...
I thought we'd have a little get-together with my prize pupils and my employees.
Outside, Griffin rings the doorbell. The white-bearded man answers the door.
Hey, come on in. You made it.
Wipe your feet.
Oh, I know I'm late.
No problem. Let me take your coat. We had to start. Eli's on a lunch break. Mm. This is my wife, Osa.
Hi.
Griffin, welcome.
He holds up a gift bag.
It's from Umbria. It's supposed to be good.
Osa slides out a wine bottle.
Come in.
Hey, Griffin, this is Lila. We met when I was getting coffee in the mall.
He looks so dang cute in his Santa suit.
Something about a guy in uniform.
You sit here beside Donna.
Hey.
Hey, yourself.
Gabe?
Griffin holds up his hand for a high five.
Don't you remember me?
Of course I do. You're the San who dumped my mom.
pretty sure you wanted to tell the...
Gabe, listen to me. I want you to remember what we talked about.
Later, Griffin carries a stack of plates into the kitchen where Osa does the dishes.
Oh, thank you, Griffin. You didn't need to do that.
She dries a pie server.
So, you broke up with your girlfriend?
No, I broke up with my wife.
He stuffs his hands in his pockets.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that you and Donna were...
Donna is a friend who happens to be in love with her husband, and I'm...
Alone. I'm sorry. I always assume that everybody has somebody. Pigeons in the park... Animals in the zoo, everyone bedding down for the night, lying next to somebody to make fairy tales.
No, it's okay.
Osa doles out pie slices.
How long have you and Ozzy been married?
Forever. But, you know, I did think about getting a divorce once. I wondered what it would be like. Being on my own. I never told Ozzy, and it all blew over. I wanted something more. I loved Ozzy, but I longed for romance, for excitement.
Sounds like what my wife is going through.
Well, be patient. The grass isn't always greener. I am so grateful that I came to my senses. A man like Ozzy does not come along twice.
Griffin smiles and nods. Now in the dining room.
And the mushroom said, why not? I'm a fun guy.
Ozzy faces Gabe.
Young man, have you written your letter yet?
What letter?
The one to Santa Claus to tell him what you want for Christmas.
That won't help.
Oh, sure. You can tell us, and we'll relay the message.
Nobody here knows nothing. My dad was in jail. My cousin told me she said he did something bad. I don't care.
Gabe.
That's what I want. I want my dad. That's what I want for Christmas. You guys all think you're Santa Claus?
Gabe.
Make him come home.
Gabe, come on.
Make him come home because we love him.
Donna touches her son's arm.
We love him, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Of course we do, honey. Of course we love him.
She picks him up in a hug. Griffin shifts his gaze pensively. Now shoppers crowd the decorated mall. At Santa's platform, Griffin holds a little girl on his lap and waves his finger toward the photo counter. Donna focuses the digital camera and snaps pictures of Griffin with her, then with three women wearing antlers, then with another little girl. A dog wearing antlers sits on his lap. He takes another picture with a whole family, then with two sleeping babies. Donna beams at him. Now a teenager positions on Griffin's lap.
This is a Christmas surprise for my parents.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're getting married.
Another teen squeezes in.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a big surprise.
He looks at her long-haired fiancé's black lipstick and eye makeup, then poses. Griffin spots the scruffy man over his shoulder. He notices the man's gaze on Donna. He taps the teenager's shoulder.
Excuse me. Santa's gotta go.
He sneaks out of the sleigh. Donna looks up from her work and does a double take at the empty platform.
Wait a minute.
As Griffin chases the scruffy man through the mall, he bumps a plump shopper.
Santa, you rude bastard!
Griffin catches up.
You're Donna's husband.
What are you talking about?
It just hit me. You have to go home to them.
Just mind your own business, Santa.
JJ, they need you.
Mind your own business, Santa.
Hey, look,
shoppers glare.
Hey, folks. Oh, don't you worry about this, folks. Just a little labor dispute with one of Santa's helpers. But just a few days left till Christmas. So just go ahead and shop, shop, shop. Someone's going to call security. Is this what you want?
JJ shifts his eyes warily.
Please, just don't tell Don I was here, okay?
Listen to me. You're the only thing Gabe wants for Christmas. You have to go see him. They don't care about the past. They only want you to come home.
I can't do it, Santa.
Later, Griffin and JJ sit at a bar with beer bottles in front of them.
Now, for 2 years, I was living a lie. Maxed out my credit cards, trying to cover. I didn't want to break her heart. Didn't want her to know she'd married such a deadbeat. I should have told her the truth.
Griffin pulls out a paper.
I get this. I woke up at 2:30 this morning and wrote this note. Dear Ellen, remember that Christmas Eve we set the alarm for 2:30 so we could walk around the neighborhood and see what it looked like? You wanted to go right up and look in the windows of the houses, but I was scared we'd get shot. We should have. Anyway. Ellen, I love you. Come home. And we'll wake up at 2:30 and start all over again. Please.
Beautiful.
He stuffs the note in an ashtray.
I'm too proud to send it.
Hey, Santa!
Hey, Ozzy!
Looking mighty sweet, my man.
Well, I'm getting used to wearing this suit all the time now.
I know the feeling.
Ozzy, this is JJ.
Donna's husband, the ex-con.
The other Santa shakes his hand, then regards him solemnly.
And your wife. And your little boy. When are you going to wise up and go home?
I lost our home. Lost everything, cars, clothes, furniture.
Donna has a place. And it's waiting for you to make a home.
Too late. Hell, I even sold my wedding ring.
Hell, I threw mine away. Regretted it right after I did it, but... yeah, it's too late now. It's gone. impossible to get it back.
Hell, Santa doesn't believe in impossible.
This one does.
Griffin takes a swig of beer. Now, at Ellen's apartment, Zoe answers the door carrying a brown Cocker Spaniel puppy.
Ho, ho, ho!
She grimaces.
Daddy?
Yeah. I worked somebody's shift this afternoon. What do you think?
Griffin enters in his Santa suit.
You look kind of silly.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Who's this?
His name is Nipper because he bites a lot, but don't worry, he just play bites.
Griffin takes the pup.
And he already knows how to poop outside.
So, Mom got you a puppy?
No, her friend Peter did.
He hands it back quickly.
His neighbor's dog had puppies, and I got one.
Oh, that's great, Zoe, but,
Ellen avoids his gaze.
Won't you miss him when you come on home?
What are you talking about? He's mine. He's coming with me.
Why don't you go gather up your stuff while I go talk to your mom?
Zoe carries Nipper out.
Hi.
Did it ever occur to you to consult with me about this? Who do you think's going to be feeding and taking care of this dog?
I'm sorry. I know. It was a surprise to me, too. And they won't let me have dogs here. Peter just dropped him off, and she's so happy. You know, since her aunt died.
You mean Amos' aunt?
Griffin. He's part of the family, after all. Remember that caterpillar she kept in that shoebox forever?
Yeah, and there was the parakeet Skeeter, who only lived a month.
Oh, poor Skeeter. Oh, and her hamster. What was her name? The one that ate all her babies?
Oh. Well, I guess it's time Zoe had a pet who loves her back and comes when she calls.
And again, sleep on her bed.
Okay, I'll go get Puppy Chow.
Thank you.
Ellen scoops cookies off a tray.
So, are things at the North Pole?
Oh, busy time of year.
Ellen gently lifts his ringless hand.
How long has it been since you stopped wearing your wedding ring?
Oh, a while.
He pulls his hand away.
I threw it away.
A cup of tea? Your hand's freezing.
Ellen abruptly turns toward the sink.
Griffin,
She places a teapot on the stove.
Peter and I... Well, it's over. This weekend with Zoe... It was weird. You know, she'd say something or she'd laugh, you know, and he'd... I'd look at him and it wasn't you. He didn't get it. He didn't get her. There was nothing to share.
As Ellen lowers her gaze, Griffin watches her intently.
And I want us to be back together. I don't know what I'm doing. You don't really want tea, do you?
He shakes his head.
Neither do I.
She leans over the sink, blinking back tears. Regaining her resolve, she faces him.
Griffin, I do love you, and I just want to come home.
Griffin shifts his jaw and looks away. He scowls back at her.
You think I'm waiting with open arms? You think it's that easy?
No. No, I know I was wrong, and I could never make up for that. Griffin, God, don't you know how ashamed I am?
She wipes tears from her cheeks.
Just say you'll consider it, that you'll think about it.
Griffin hesitantly meets her gaze, then shakes his head.
I'm sorry, Ellen, I already have. It's over.
Dad, I'm ready.
Oh, sweetie, wait. I kiss you goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow after school, okay? I love you. Hi, Nipper.
Bye, Mom. Come on, Dad.
Zoe walks off.
By the way, I'd like Zoe Christmas Eve.
Well, what does Zoe want?
She's spending Christmas Eve with me. You have her Christmas Day.
As he turns away, Ellen rubs tears from her cheeks. With his wig and beard stuffed in his dangling Santa cap, Griffin walks toward the open door. Morning. Griffin chooses a Christmas wreath from several boxes on his front porch.
It's about time.
Get out here and help your dad. Get that hammer, will you, right there?
My stocking.
Zoe grabs a red stocking and rushes back in.
Okay, I'll be inside.
Zoe!
Later, Griffin hangs a green bulb ornament on a Christmas tree as Zoe watches, cross-legged. Nipper chews on a paper angel at her feet.
No, 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 Nipper, no! He ruined it. The angel I made with Mom for the top of our tree.
Zoe?
Her dad crouches before her.
We'll make another one.
Stupid angel.
Zoe tosses the angel, then sulks upstairs. Nipper resumes chewing on the paper. Later, Griffin slowly opens the door to his daughter's room. Zoe dances in front of a full-length mirror wearing a long velvet dress. With a broad smile, she spins in place.
Hey, Zopes, can I come in?
No!
She quickly shuts off her radio and unties the dress.
Now, isn't that the dress your mom got you last year that you wouldn't even try on?
It's gotten too small anyway.
She lets the dress fall at her feet.
Sort of like it, sort of.
Griffin leans over his and Ellen's wedding picture on Zoe's nightstand.
Hey, what's this?
Oh, I lost my tooth.
Wow, that's a big one. The Tooth Fairy really, really likes these big ones.
There is no Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah? Since when? Then who puts the money under the pillow?
You do.
He smiles at his daughter and sits.
You're right. There is no Tooth Fairy.
So, what should I do with it then?
I'll buy it.
You don't have to buy it. You can have it, Dad.
You know, tomorrow afternoon is the big Santa graduation. You could wear your new dress. You'll have a lot of fun.
Actually, John Carlos asked me to go ice skating and his mom's gonna take us.
Zoe crosses her arms.
Oh. Well, that's what you'd rather do. But then, when you get back home, we can have our Christmas Eve dinner. And we'll have, other people over,
like when Mom was here.
Griffin regards her sadly. Now, in the storehouse, the trainee Santas sit in small Model T trucks. Donna takes a picture of Ozzie and Eli as the student moves his hat's fuzzy tip from right to left. The other Santas shake bells.
You came in as men, and you're going out as Santas.
Yay!
Hey, what about me, Ozzie?
Yeah, what about Louise?
Yeah.
Paul Godfredson.
The older trainee steps forward for his diploma.
Do I have to turn in the suit?
Till next year, my man.
But Ozzie, this suit is a babe magnet.
You can't wear it out of season. The babes will think you're nuts. You don't need a Santa suit to carry the feeling of Christmas through the year. Am I right, graduates?
The Santas toss their caps into the air as their families cheer. Later, a band of elves plays in the storehouse. As couples dance, Donna speaks sternly to her son. Gabe tries to pull his arm free from her. At the snack table, Griffin approaches Ozzie as he returns a ladle to a bowl of eggnog.
Hey, Ozzie. You know, my daughter Zoe, This has been hard for her, Christmas Eve, without her mom. So I'm having a little party, and I would love for you and Osa to be there. Donna and Gabe are going to come.
Sorry, son. I sure would like to be there with you and your daughter. But Osa and I are going away for the holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ozzie smiles and walks off. Griffin notices Donna speaking calmly to her pouting son. As Gabe argues back, Griffin watches pensively and heaves a sigh. Evening. Griffin pulls his Volvo into his snowy driveway. JJ sits in the passenger seat.
I'm in a cold sweat.
Don't be. It's all gonna work out.
I got these crappy presents.
You're the only present they wanted.
Later, Griffin takes a stuffed goose from the oven.
I've never cooked a goose before.
Come on.
Hey, good idea.
I don't need her. I've got a recipe.
Should I get it?
No. I will.
JJ pats Zoe's shoulder and puts on his sports coat. As JJ heads out, Zoe, wearing her velvet dress, shares a smile with her dad. Outside, Gabe knocks on the front door. As Donna carries gift bags up the sidewalk, the door opens. Gabe stares, and Donna stops in her tracks.
My son.
You left my mom and me.
No. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's not fair!
Gabe.
You made my mommy cry!
As JJ crouches down, Gabe beats on him with mittened fists.
I am so mad.
He pulls Gabe into a hug.
Daddy. Daddy. Don't ever leave us again.
I won't. I won't, buddy. I promise. Oh, Donna.
Donna drops her bags and runs forward. As she hugs him, Gabe hugs them both.
Oh, how missed you.
Donna and her husband kiss. Zoe watches sadly from the window. Later, at Christmas dinner, the two families sit at the elaborate spread. JJ carves the goose.
There you go. That's right.
Those are Brussels sprouts. You love Brussels sprouts.
Hey, you have enough there, Zopes?
Yeah, thanks. And everybody's happy. I'm grateful to be here, to be together.
Donna lifts her wine glass.
A toast to the Santa who made it all happen.
And his little helpers.
Cheers.
Zoe stares at her plate, then runs out. The wine glass is lower.
Me and my big mouth.
No, it's all right.
Griffin finds his daughter sobbing in the hallway. She runs from him.
No, honey. Oh, listen, I am so sorry. Your dad is so dumb. Maybe this wasn't a great idea, but we could still have a wonderful Christmas with Gabe and Donna and JJ.
But I can't.
Santa trudges by the window.
The other Christmas we used to have, but Mommy isn't here and I miss her.
I know. I miss her too.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
At the back door, Ellen pulls off a Santa beard.
Mom!
Ellen lifts her daughter in a hug.
Oh, you look so pretty! Oh, Merry Christmas! Mwah.
Hey, why should your daddy be the only Santa in the house, huh?
She takes Griffin's face in her gloved hands and kisses him firmly.
That was the sweetest note anyone has ever left me. Oh, Nipper!
Hi!
Oh, I have something for you!
Zoe laughs as Nipper tugs a bone out of Ellen's red sack.
Merry Christmas!
What note?
Oh, isn't your daddy the coolest? Oh!
Don't play dumb with me. I saw you sneaking out of my apartment about an hour ago in your silly Santa suit up the fire escape.
But you had to use the fire escape because I don't have a chimney.
Oh, do I smell Christmas dinner? Oh, did you guys cook dinner? Oh, can I see? The house looks so pretty. Hi, happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas.
Hi, I'm Ellen.
And I'm Donna. The other night, and this is my husband, JJ.
Hey, JJ. Nice to meet you.
Son.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, look at this. Gorgeous. And I didn't have to cook it. is there a chair for Santa?
Yeah.
I'll get it. Come on. I wasn't there in your apartment. An hour ago, I was cooking that goose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true, Mom. He graduated and he handed in a suit.
Okay. So you weren't in my apartment an hour ago and you didn't leave me a note telling me that you loved me and wanted me to come home. I'm just imagining that.
She pulls off her glove.
I'm just imagining this.
She holds up Griffin's wedding band.
Is that your ring?
How did you find it?
I found it in a little box next to a crumpled up note, reminding me of a Christmas Eve a long time ago when we got up at 2:30 in the morning.
That note, I do...
Is this not the ring I gave you on our wedding day?
Yeah, it's my ring. I just don't understand.
Don't try, just...
Ellen slips the ring on her husband's finger.
Just put it back on.
Thank you. know who was in your apartment. I only know that I'm grateful you're here because I never stopped loving you.
After a quick peck on the lips, they pull each other into a passionate kiss. A tear streams down Ellen's cheek.
Yay!
There's a lot of similarity between Santa Claus and marriage. You start out with a fantasy, and you might get angry when you find out that what you believed in isn't true. But what about what is true? Santa is alive in spirit, kindness, hope, joy, and love. And that's what you have to bring to a marriage. Maybe you don't always get what you ask for, but sometimes you do.
Now everything's perfect.
Yeah, I just wish Ozzy and Osa were here.
I know, but every 24th of December they go on their annual Christmas trip.
Griffin imagines Ozzy in his Santa suit as elves load toys into a sleigh. Osa stands behind him in the whirling snow dressed as Mrs. Claus. They wave. Back at dinner.
I propose a toast. Here's to believing in Santa Claus.
Ooh, to Santa.
To Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho,
ho. As the two families toast, our view pulls out the window into the wintry evening. Blackness shrinks down to a tiny circle around the front door's Christmas wreath. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS, read by Leilani Jones-Wilmore.